Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. Going to continue today to look at aspects of the person of Jesus, the revelation of Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation is, at its core, a revelation, the apocalypse, it's called. It's the unveiling of the person of Jesus. The book of Revelation is, you know, famous for a lot of end times speculation about what's going to happen. There really is information there in the book of Revelation about where human history is going. There's no question about that. But the first and the most important thing in the book is the unveiling of the king, because the Father's plan ultimately is a person. It's his son. And all things have been given to him. And all things were made for him, and all things will be drawn back, renewed in him. We've been talking about that this week so far. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program, you could go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there, or you can download the programs to whatever device works for you to listen to them at your leisure. As I continue to repeat on the program, the best way to have access to everything that we produce at Renewal Ministries is to download the Renewal Ministries app from the App Store, and also Ave Maria app. It's all the good program that's here is also immediately accessible to you at a reasonable time. In some parts of the country, my program's on at a very, very early time in the morning, and only the early birds get a chance to listen to it. So we're talking today about the kingship of Jesus. He says in Matthew chapter 28, at the end of the gospel, it says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them," back up to the mountain. "And when he saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And as he came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always, till the close of the age.'" So the central verse there for our purposes today is verse 18. "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" There really is a kingdom, because there really is a king. And the king does have actual authority over everything in the realm. And his realm is the whole of creation, and the whole of the kingdom of God, and he has power over all opposition to the kingdom of God as well. We'll talk about that more, and we talk about Jesus as the judge. But it's so clear, again, I referred to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 yesterday. I want to read some of it again here. It says, "For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ." Those who belong to Christ are those who are in the kingdom, who've come under the rule of the king. He said, "Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death." He must reign. The Father has given all authority to the Son, Jesus told us. He's the one who's restoring the Father's plan and purpose. He's the faithful Son. We saw the faithful witness who's going forward, and he's riding out in power and glory. And he came where? He came here. He became one of us to destroy the kingdom of darkness that's set against the kingdom of God the Father. And Jesus disarmed those principalities and powers and made a public show of them, Paul tells us, on the cross. He brought the power of the kingdom of darkness down. So the ultimate victory has been won. As many people have said over the years, we have battles and skirmishes that we still need to confront, battles in our own lives, battles in the world until he comes again, the Prince of Peace, or as C.S. Lewis describes him, the young Prince of the Universe. Jesus the Lord, he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The Father has desired that everything be subject to the Son. And it's going to come in one of two ways. It's going to come by virtue of people freely surrendering their lives to Jesus and saying yes to him and yes to the offer of salvation that the Father has given us in the Son, and freely bending the knee and freely entering into the kingdom and into the service of the great King. Others will bend the knee by the sheer force and power and glory of the presence of the King on the day of judgment. Last week, I touched on Philippians chapter 2, and I just want to read that hymn again because it talks about the kingship and glory of Jesus, right, in terms of the Father's plan. You know, Jesus had emptied himself, became a servant. He humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, death on a cross. And here's another example, as Paul describes it, another example of Jesus, the faithful witness. He's faithful to, and he witnesses to you and to me, how a human being can reach fulfillment, how we can reach our ultimate destiny, how we can find and walk in the purpose for which we were created. Our King is showing us. And how did he do it? He became a servant. Jesus, the servant King, who's at the service of the Father, right? And in loving service, he washes our feet, cleanses us from sin. He became obedient even unto death, trusting the Father in all things. Do you see how Jesus rightly, the King rightly ordered the kingdom, those who'd be following him toward the Father? He showed us what it means for us to be living in the will of the Father and what life in the kingdom looks like, what life in the kingdom's all about. It's radically different than the kingdom of this world. He said, therefore, because Jesus was faithful and obedient even unto death, that he humbled himself, and this is such a message for the world, the proud, arrogant world that just continues to deny the existence of God or be indifferent to the existence of God and his glory and majesty, and to rejecting the authority of Jesus and just not even paying attention to it, to be indifferent to it. This is such one of the reasons why people go that direction. Obviously, it's the temptations of the world, the flesh, the devil, those realities that work in us. But one of the big reasons why is because we don't want to be humbled. We don't want to humble ourselves. We don't want to acknowledge that I'm not the King. I'm not the Lord. Final authority doesn't rest with me. I don't have the authority and the power to design my life and design reality the way I want to, or create my own truth, create my own set of values. That's madness, really. But it takes humility to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, because Jesus, the path, the narrow way, is to freely, joyfully embrace the plan of the Father, the commandments of God, and we find life in obedience, not life in radical pride and autonomy. That's the battle that's going on in the human heart. But verse 9, therefore God has highly exalted him. It's another way to describe Jesus' kingship. He's highly exalted and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is the highly exalted one. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and he will ride out, we see in the book of Revelation, a final battle when the King will destroy, as it says in 1 Corinthians 15, we just read that all things will be brought under his feet. He's going to destroy all the enemies of God, and that means even human beings are going to be subject to his authority, and they'll come under his judgment, and they'll be eternally separated from the kingdom in hell because they refuse to acknowledge the King and the lordship of the King. Jesus is all about removing all rebellion against the Father's will. Jesus is coming to wipe out all wickedness, the wickedness of the enemy. He has authority over him. And if we attach ourselves to the enemy, if we decide to walk in darkness, we set ourselves against the Lord, against the anointed of God, as Psalm 2 says. In Psalm 2, as we see at the beginning of that psalm, the kings of the earth, the temptation of the powerful and the wealthy and the wise, and you know, supposedly the wise of the earth, they set themselves against the Lord and against his anointed. The temptation of the devil is to seduce us into saying, no, We're going to build our kingdom our way. We're not going to be subject to anything or anybody. We're not going to walk in that humiliating plan that he has. We are going to go our own way. And the psalm says, God sits in the heavens and laughs. He laughs at these creatures who have no power ultimately and are slaves, but they can't oppose his son. And he said, I have set my king on Zion. I have set my son. He will rule the nations. He will rule all. The nations are given to him already. And then David says, you fools in the earth, you know, be wise, repent, bow down, you know, acknowledge him. He'll dash you to the ground like a potter's vessel. So there's that reality of his authority as king. Chapter 19 of the book of Revelation. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. He who sat upon it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and he makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are mighty diadems, like many crowns, like he's the king of kings, and all the crowns of the earth are below him, right? And he has a name inscribed that no one knows but himself. He's clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called, the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, wearing fine linen, white and pure, followed him on white horses. So the dipped in blood, it's dipped in blood because he's the one, it'll say here, he's the one who's brought about the judgment against those who are set against God. Who is he? He's the Word of God, spoken by the Lord. It says, and the armies of heaven, wearing fine linen, white and pure, followed him on white horses. From his mouth issues a sharp sword with which to strike the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name inscribed, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the king above all other kings. He's the Lord above all other lords. He's the one who finally rides out. And with the power of his word, the sharp sword that issues from his mouth, the word of God, he smites the enemy. He destroys all that is set against his father's plan and purpose. He is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. That kingship has begun. When Jesus rose from the dead and took his seat at the right hand of God the Father gave over to Jesus all power and authority. It all belongs to him. And he's on a mission. One of the things he's doing for us now is he's interceding before the Father that the human race would repent and we'd come to him and bow down and acknowledge his kingship and gladly enter the kingdom, gladly enter his rule and reign over our lives, which the New Testament is just full of this kind of wisdom that this is the way to life. But he's also determined, friends, to destroy and to bring into subjection all those spirits and all those men and women who set themselves against him and against his father's kingdom. He's the king. He's established the father's kingdom, a kingdom that will reign forever and ever. Today is the day. If you're not there, today is the day to bow the knee before the king and to say, Father, thank you for Jesus. I welcome his rule in my life. I welcome his kingship. I welcome your amazing plan. I want to live in and walk in the kingdom for his glory. Have a great day, brothers and sisters.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.